My name is Annie Jennings, and of the Poker Pro podcast series, I am the host of the Poker Pro podcast series. We are live at the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City today. The Taj Mahal is the host of the Play the Authors No Limit Texas Hold'em Tournament, and we've had a wide variety of fabulous authors come here today, and I'd like to share a story now. Sherry Bykofsky is one of the top authors in the country, and she entered this tournament today. Sherry is the author of Secrets the Pros Won't Tell You About Winning Hold'em Poker, which is excellent, by the way, and I must say I do read the books in one sitting, and that was an excellent read. Her next book is The Rules of Poker, Essentials for Every Game. I recommend that one highly as well. And her brand new book, just out, is The Portable Poker Pro. It's a tiny little book, perfect for your purse or back pocket, so you can read it in between train rides or travel, wherever you're going. You can get lots of great tips. Now, Sherry Bykofsky today, she played in this tournament. What level are we at right now?
About 100, 200 blinds and a $25 ante is about to go up.
Okay.
Still pretty early in the tournament.
It's still pretty early in the tournament. Now, what I'd like to share is Sherry is obviously a seasoned pro. She's been playing for many, many years. And what I want to do is talk to her a little bit about her loss today. She was knocked out of the tournament right about this level, and talk a little bit about how that happened to her and what she can share and maybe wishes she had done differently. So, Sherry, tell us about what happened today.
Well, I would advise people not to run a poker tournament and play in it.
Because you're distracted, right?
I was distracted. There were some seating mix-ups.
Right.
Plus, there's a bounty on me. It's
only a book, however,
it caused people to call when they should have folded. They really wanted to get me out and win that
book. So people had got special prizes if they knocked her out. So she was under attack from the very beginning,
let me
tell you guys. So probably we had a lot of aggressive play against her rather than your standard traditional strategic play, right?
It's true. I went all in, and I had been playing tightly, but usually when someone goes all in, it's really not good to call with an ace-jack. I did have a pair, albeit a small pair, but I did go all in with a pair. It was my first all in, so the person who called me had ace-jack. Questionable call. Of course, the flop had ace-jack, and the turn had a jack.
Ooh.
So he had aces.
I would call that a bad beat.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't even call it a bad beat. However,
it was just the cards were against
him. Quite the right call, but anyway,
it
worked out for him.
Yeah, excellent flop for him, of course. A
yeah.
miracle flop, actually.
And also, I was distracted by being interviewed on local television.
Right.
And so I had to get up and miss a lot of hands, miss what was going on at the table.
Yeah, and you lose the flow. You lose the ebb and flow. Because one of the things that now I'd like to ask you, since you did bring this up, when you arrive for a poker tournament, you want to bring your A game to the best of your ability. And part of it is really sort of, you know, not having outside distractions,
right.
Not being tired, not being hungry, coming in ready to play.
That's right.
Energetic, well-rested, just ready to play your A game. Today for you, there was a lot of distractions, obviously, that kept you from following the play by play, so you didn't get to know the players as much.
Not
because
as well.
You were
I had to
down
get up.
From your seat. Mm-hmm. And one thing I know Sherry that does very well is she's able to identify players and their particular strategies rather rapidly. So had she had the opportunity to sit there and really watch the players as much as would normally occur, you know, you might have been able to read this a little differently.
No, I would have had to do the same thing. I was starting to get short stacked. I was looking for a pair to go all in with in the right position. I did it. I had to take my chances on that hand. I'll tell you what didn't happen to me. At my table, there was a man earlier on who very early had ace-king against... he had ace-jack, and the flop had top-pair jacks. So he had top-pair jacks with an ace, and he got a woman to go all in. He tricked her into going all in with her ace-king, and then he called. And on the turn, he had the best hand. That's when he pulled his move. On the river, of course, she got a king. She did not take him out of the tournament. He still had 2,000 in chips from the 5,000 we started with. Very next hand, he shoved his chips in. He said, I just want to get out of here.
Really?
And another player, of course, had a better hand. This man's hand was not so great. He just was in a huff. He had to get out. And that's what people do. The blinds at that point were $25.50, he could have absolutely stayed and built his chips back, maybe even won the tournament. But instead, he got disgruntled, lost one hand, gave away his chips to the next player.
Well, you know, that's what we were talking about earlier today, was people who go on tilt and just blow out the next hand because they're on tilt. But when really you're saying that there's a great probability that this guy could double up and come back. And he waited.
Anytime you're in the tournament, you have 10 times the big blind, 20 times the big blind. You have 20 times the big blind. You're in pretty good shape. So even if you have, if the blinds are 25-50 and you have 500 chips, you know, you're really short stack, but you have a lot of chips to go around the table and play tight and double up and then double up again. You're no way out of a tournament when you have 20 times the big blind, no matter what the
Now, why don't we talk a little bit about short stack strategy? Because a lot of times people who do have short stacks become disengaged with the play and they just want to go home and they're willing to play like a wild person, right? Very loose, very aggressive, very crazy. Now, we want to help people through that psychological event that occurs. Now, how would you play? You're short stacked. You've had a series of losses that weren't too comfortable for you.
Well, I've won hundreds of tournaments, and when I win a tournament, I don't always have the best cards. It doesn't mean I've had the best luck or the best cards. Sometimes I've even had some bad beats. But with a big stack, you don't have to take risks. You don't have to rely on luck. When you're short stacked, yes, you have to rely on luck. So you have to wait for the opportunity when you can make luck in the right way.
So in other words,
it could mean going all in. You want your stack, even though it's short, to be big enough to hurt another stack.
Yeah, at a certain point, you have to play it or you're obviously going to get blinded out because you'll have no power left. So at a certain point, you have to look for your spot to go all in, and it's going to be one probably of the next six or seven hands that are
dealt
you,
right? Not necessarily. You want to look for the first opportunity to go all in with a good hand. You really want to have a hand that, if they call you, can stand up.
Absolutely.
The other thing you can do is go all in under the gun. And you can just do it with any two cards, but you shouldn't look like you're on tilt when you do it. You should do it to try to get this chip, to try to get chips. And at that point, the blinds should be big enough to win. You don't want to do that when the blinds are 25-50, go all in under the gun. When the blinds are big and there's an ante, and you're going all in, will keep someone from calling because you have enough chips to hurt them. You're all in first. They might fold an ace-jack. They might fold something that maybe in another situation they would call with.
They would have called
pocket
with.
Pocket sixes they might call with if they're on. But maybe if you're all in under the gun and everyone else folds,
they figure, what the heck, why take the chance
why
now?
Why take the chance
why
with
their double
sixes?
Her up? Right, exactly. And somebody usually does call when you go in under the gun. So you do stand a chance of doubling up in that situation.
Now,
how do you personally, how do you separate one hand from the next? Treat every hand as an individual, new, fresh hand, a chance to start over again.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should do.
And why do people find that so hard to do? Why do people tilt and steam and go wild with
I actually
hands?
Love bad beats, especially love them in a cash game, though. Because because in a cash game, you're not all in. You can pull more money out of your pocket. In a cash game, when you get somebody calling your raise all the time, and then for a while they're 9-3 is beating you, they're 10-4, they're queen-4, some people get mad, oh my gosh, you beat my aces with a queen-4. Those people who get mad are stupid, because you love a player at your table who's going to call your raises. If you're so tight that every time you raise, everyone falls, all you're going to win are the blinds.
I know.
You're going to win chips, not blinds.
Yeah, and I wonder about that. I said, you know, sometimes I see aces, you know, raise substantially 6-8 times the big blind. And I'm wondering, why are they doing that for? I mean, they've got a great hand with wonderful potential. Why not just see the flop a little bit and then try to outplay your opponent?
That's exactly. Well, if your head's up and you have a very strong hand, seeing the flop isn't bad. Depends on everything, the position and the chips and if you can afford to lose everything. If you have aces or you have kings or you have if you have aces or kings, you only want to be up against one player.
Right.
The more people call you, the worse chance you have of winning the hand.
Sure.
So even, of course, heads up, you have a chance of losing, even with a far superior hand. So
that's true. So there's that fine line with how much should you raise to get everybody out of the pot,
to get all
except
but
for
one
person, right, that you can isolate and then try to outperform or outplay after the flop if you get the cards, you know, if you feel the probability is there, or you fold or you're out.
Something else, though, if there are lots of limpers going all in, if you think they're all going to fold, you've won all the limps, it's a very good bet.
Yeah, and you would do that if you had a strong hand that could also stand on its own.
That's
correctly.
Correct. And yeah, you would want to. You don't want to see a flop. You have seven people limping or three people limping.
It could be
you
anything.
Don't want to see a flop. You want it. You want to get them all to fold with all the money that's in there,
mm-hmm.
or you want to get one player to call you at most.
Yeah, so every hand really is different. There's a lot of strategy involved. There's a lot of layers and dimensions to this game.
Yes, there is.
I think that's why it's so exciting, because really never two hands are played the same.
That's
is that
so
correct?
True. That's
yeah.
true. And even if you have the same hand twice in one, or three times in one day, in one sitting, don't play it the same way. Play it different.
Right.
Let the other people be consistent and you be inconsistent.
Yeah, so why do you think that the game has just taken America, the world, by storm?
There's so much to it. There is psychology, there's math, there is just the beauty of a wonderful game. It's a really beautiful, simple
you know,
game.
You're right.
And it's,
mm-hmm.
in a way, like chess. The pieces move a certain way. Of course, this is a simpler game, but why do people get so serious about chess? Because you can always get a little better. No matter how
right.
good you are, you can always get a
better.
Little better.
And there's always that pleasure of when your hand works out, the betting, the scenario works out just the way that it's supposed to, and you get this supreme feeling of pleasure,
it
right?
is.
It's
yes.
just like a wonderful feeling
yeah,
when your jacks hold up.
It's like being a maestro for an orchestra.
I gotta ask you one question about jacks. Why do poker players hate seeing jacks as their hole cards?
Well, they look so beautiful because they're what's known as paint.
Right.
They're just like kings and queens. They
but
look so pretty.
They're deadly.
But because ace deuce can beat jacks
I
very
know.
Easily.
Yeah. So jacks. So jacks look so fabulous on the surface, but they really can lead to a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Well, I'd like you to meet Arthur Reber.
Oh, wonderful.
Arthur Reber is a poker author.
Oh, Arthur, it's a pleasure. My name is Annie.
Are you
from
on a
Annie
break?
Jennings PR.
I'm on a permanent break.
A permanent break, Arthur
you're
Reber.
You're my next
you're
interview.
The next
Well, let me just thank Sherry for coming
thank
to
you,
us.
Annie.
She's got some wonderful books, Portable Poker Pro, The Rules of Poker, and The Secrets the Pros Won't Tell You About Winning Hold'em Poker. Sherry, thanks so much
thank
for coming
you
in
very
for
much,
us, and
Annie.
We'll see you next time.
It's a pleasure. Okay.